I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
His first catch of this game.
Yeah, it was the only catch, but it was a great throw. He had a couple of them in the second half. I pointed them out during my game take. You can download the Odyssey app and listen to this show in its entirety. You can certainly stream it. You can go to theteam980.com and listen to the show. Our show today, as is the case every day, is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. 42-14, they are, in many respects, right now, the most productive offense in the NFL, and the quarterback has played historically great for the first four games of his career, and really for the first four games of any career, rookie or otherwise, and is truly right now playing at an elite level. What does that mean moving forward? Well, let's ask our Washington insider, Ben Standing, who's with us every Monday and Friday in this noon slot. He took the back from Arizona after being out there all week. That's exactly what I would have done. I would have gotten out of Dodge last night. 5-6 days since you've been home. Hopefully you got some coffee. You're ready to roll. We start where we start every week after the game. Give me your big takeaways.
Yeah, it's been 8 days because I left the day before the Monday night game. So yeah, it's been a journey. Coffee is lacking at the moment though, but otherwise we're hanging in there. I basically didn't sleep on the red eye home, and I was just sitting there trying to process everything. And it is really hard to process what is going on here with this group. The Jaden part is the easiest part to explain because he was the number two pick in the draft. He won the Heisman. There was a lot to like. You know, you were certainly one of the first people I heard talking about him in such reverential tones, and he's just continued to improve the poise, the accuracy, all that I get. It's just the rest of it is just so fascinating because this is still a roster that has several holes. The talent is not particularly robust at certain positions. That's not a knock. This is the reality of the situation when the team is rebuilding, recalibrating, whatever you want to say. And yet every week this is getting more and more interesting because of how it's developing. Now the defense this week, for the first time this year, really stepped up and was a viable partner to the offense. And the confidence is clearly very high right now. A lot of it has to do with the quarterback. I suspect a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's no longer the Snyder scenario, that's all part of the past. And it's really remarkable. I mean, if you told me they were going to be 3-1, I'd be like, wow, okay. I don't know if I see that, but sure, okay. But to do it this way, where like the historical stats for the offense are off the charts crazy. It's really hard on some level to figure out how this is happening, but it is absolutely happening.
Yeah, that's a good last point, because before the season started, not really knowing what to expect, if somebody had said 3-1, you would have said, all right, they play Tampa, they play the Giants, they play Arizona, maybe they eked out a couple of good wins. It's not that. It's what we've witnessed with our own eyes with respect to this offensive football team and the quarterback in particular. And, you know, you talk about the rest of the roster and, you know, it's not the most overwhelmingly impressive roster player by player. But I think there's something that happens, Ben, you know, in a franchise when you have a guy at quarterback that it is apparent is the real deal. It just elevates everything around it. And I think that's a big part of what we're seeing. It's amazing the belief that the offensive line has in itself, the running backs have in themselves, the receivers, and Terry's gotten untracked here the last couple of games. Defensively, knowing that, hey, you know, we don't have to be great, but if we just can get off the field a couple of times, our guy's going to put up 35. You know, we'll be okay. There's a lot of that going on, I think, right now, too. And I'm wondering, you know, how that manifests itself in a post-game locker room after a win like that, after the win on Monday night. You know, what vibe are you getting from the rest of the locker room about Jaden Daniels?
You know, it's kind of the same one that's been there this whole time, except now going back to the offseason in terms of his work ethic, his presence in the locker room, this quiet confidence. He's part of the group. But now it's, you know, there's actual game tape evidence to show what's happening. And, you know, yesterday was a day to talk a little bit more about the defense, right? Because they, you know, really shut down the passing game with Kyler Murray. And I was talking to Dorrance Armstrong afterwards, and he obviously had a huge sack on that 4th-and-1 right before halftime. He had 1.5 sacks total. And, you know, we talked about the defense and what, you know, what was happening, what changed. And then I said, you know, like, before I let you go, how about the quarterback? And he just kind of turned his head in my direction, just like, dude, like, what the hell? I mean, everybody is just so wildly impressed. And, yeah, I mean, there's absolutely something to be said for that with in terms of what you said about the confidence that gets spread in the locker room to think, hey, we're always going to have a shot here because of this guy. I do think that's a secret sauce that a lot of winning teams have when you have guy. But you know, I think that's the part here that's just so interesting is like to what extent. Yeah. I mean, again, it's one thing if for me he was playing well. This is so off the charts as the various stats dictate that it's just like, wait a minute, are we? I mean, like I don't know. Maybe you've already had the conversation. I haven't, and I'm not ready now. But you know. Is he one of the, I don't know, 10 best quarterbacks in the league? Is it more than that? Like,
I think he, what did we list? He's 6th or 7th in the MVP odds race right now. The MVP odds race. Is he one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the game right now, the way he's playing? Easily. It's not even a debate. You know, here's the other thing that's interesting about it is that he's not doing it because he's a great dual-threat quarterback, which he is. There are several quarterbacks with many more rushing yards on the season than he has through 4 games. He's sitting back in the pocket and slicing people up like he did yesterday. And then he's outside the pocket starting to slice people up. One of the things I was going to ask you about, because, you know, we talked all offseason about just what were we going to see offensively? We've seen so many different things through the first 4 games. I don't have it added up, but I'm going to guess that he was under center as much as he's been under center all season long. And we're starting to see a lot of the Shanahan elements, zone run, bootleg off of that. Him on a quarterback keeper bootleg, I mean, you got no shot defensively of making that play any less than an 8-yard play.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the other part is like, you know the Bengals cornerback Cameron Taylor Britt made the comment about before the Monday night game about this was like a college offense the way they were running it, and like, you know, obviously that's you know, it's an insulting bulletin board type comment, but you know, like it's not like they have, you know, completely gone to the, you know, all pages of the playbook here to bring things out. They are, you know, have taken things a little slowly, which is reasonable, right? I mean, you know, made things a little less complicated. But with each week, you know, a little bit more gets added, a little more gets changed, and it continues to grow. It'll give kudos to Cliff Kingsbury, of course, not just getting the win over his former team, but you know, he continues to put Jaden Daniels in the best position. And you know, I go back to the preseason, you know, after Jaden did the audible in that Jets game to throw the 42-yard pass, and the next week I asked Kingsbury, what do you kind of make of that? And he was like, hey, he's the one under center. I'm not. I want him to tell me what he is seeing and make calls accordingly. That just does not seem normal for a rookie quarterback. And it's just continued to be this way, you know, throughout. I thought one telling thing yesterday was what Jaden said, that he was asked about the interception and whether, you know, what was said to him afterwards about it. And he could look puzzled. He goes, yeah, I don't think we had any conversation about it. I'm sure there's some just general notion of it, but it wasn't like some heavy handed, hey kid, you gotta, you know, don't do that. He's making so many excellent decisions, which has been, again, a comment they've made all along, that it doesn't feel like they don't need to treat him in a way that they wouldn't treat a veteran quarterback who's been there, done that, rather than a guy who's only in his fourth game. I don't keep just saying it's remarkable, it's incredible, but, you know, this really is, you know, nuts to see what's happened so far.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've not listened to Jaden's presser yet. There was a converse. You could see the television cameras picked up Cliff going over to talk to Jaden real quickly. It was very brief. It certainly doesn't look like it gets to him at all. He's not gonna back off. I mean, I think that throw just wasn't one of his better throws. He had a throw late in the game to Noah Brown that he overshot him by 5 yards. You know what? Quarterbacks throw interceptions, and really good quarterbacks make some bad plays. But I still think the worst play of the year was his first play of the year, Ben, the one to Brian Robinson Jr. in Tampa that went backwards for a loss of 15 yards. I don't think we've seen anything remotely close to that since. So let's talk about the defense. It was better, but do you share in my concern still that this is a defense that I'm thankful that Arizona, like you mentioned, the third and one and the fourth and one, why are they not running the football? I mean, Connor is going to get 5-6 yards on almost every carry. There were a couple of stops, but it was better, but I'm still not sold in terms of minimizing the overall concern I have in it. What say you?
Oh, no. Yeah, no. I'm still skeptical about that. I mean, the Cardinals ran for, like 180 yards, somewhere in that range. It's just that they weren't, because the passing game just completely died off after the opening drive, that they were, you know, effectively a one-dimensional team, and that also helped, I'm sure, the pass rush, get after Murray. But, you know, I haven't had a chance to go watch back the tape, but, you know, to their credit, you know, the secondary was clearly giving Murray some fits on the play where Armstrong sacked him. He just said, hey, look, the quarterback held the ball a bit long, and I guess because he couldn't find anybody down the field. So, you know, credit to the defense for that. But, you know, I still have a lot of questions about the cornerback situation. Again, this was a really good pass rush performance getting after Murray. But, you know, well, let's see it consistently, you know, at least with the offense. You know, this has now been, you know, even in the Giants game where they didn't score a touchdown, they scored on every single possession. So, you know, that part's been there. We've seen that here on the defense. I do agree with you. There are more questions to answer. But, you know, like you said earlier, if you can just be decent, you don't have to be top 10, just decent the way the offense is playing right now, you know, that's enough. I mean, essentially that's what happened in the Bengals game. The Bengals, you know, didn't punt, didn't turn the ball over, but they were stopped and had to kick field goals just enough to give the offense that advantage. So, yeah, I agree that there's more to come for this group. But, you know, Joe Witt Jr., to his credit, when we were in Arizona midweek, said, hey, look, we're not where we need to be. There's a lot we need to fix, but I'm telling you, we're a lot closer than people think. And it sounds like coach speak, but, I mean, you know, the proof is in the win. They certainly were a lot closer, you know, to delivering that performance in their eyes than I think the rest of us thought.
Yeah, you can't underrate just the snowballing of, you know, the snowball effect of confidence throughout a team. I mean, we see it when we watch teams all the time. It's like, they're not very good here, but all of a sudden the other part of the team is so good. And, you know, the context of these games change when your offense is as good as theirs. The score got pretty much out of control early in the third quarter, and so that just led to even better defensive results. I mean, if you're going to ask this tiny, you know, diminutive quarterback to drop back into the pocket, and then you're going to get a lot of good results against him. And the score and the context create some of those opportunities. You don't know what it would have looked like had the game been close. But I hope they got confident from yesterday. And I hope at the same time it's a teaching opportunity, because they got gashed again by the other team's running game. The other team just decided on a couple of key spots to let the quarterback go back and throw it from the pocket, which was a big mistake. All right. So we've had all these conversations. We're talking to Ben Standing, of course, at Ben Standing on Twitter. He writes for The Athletic. He wrote extensively after the game last night. Go read it. Subscribe. Couple of bucks. He's got a podcast called Last Man Standing. You can get that wherever you get a podcast. So you and I have had this conversation back and forth, you know, even before the season started, but certainly after, you know, the Giant and the Bengals win. I think now we are in, it's about this year. I'm not suggesting that Adam Peters doesn't have a once every 2 weeks get together to do a capital planning and a, you know, long-term budget session, okay, with the front office. Of course they should be thinking that way. But this is about now taking advantage of, you have to in the NFL, because these opportunities don't come around. There's no guarantee of taking advantage of having an elite offense as it stands now. We'll see against Baltimore and Cleveland, two good defensive teams. And so do you think, if the offensive results continue and they're, let's just say, win a couple of more games and maybe they lose a couple at the same time, do you think they'll treat this season aggressively in trying to add a couple of spots defensively to their team?
Yeah, I mean, it does give me some 2020 vibes, right? Where, like, you know, very low expectations, and then was it like week 4 or 5, Ron Rivera looks at the standings in the NFC East and says, you know what, I think we could win this thing. And we're like, hey, really?
He did say that.
Oh, yes. Wait, what's going on? And then, of course, it did work out that way, because the rest of the division was kind of a mess. And, you know, to some degree, that's the case here again. The point you made about how, like, they didn't go aggressively in like free agency this offseason, and that was an indication that this was about the future more than about the moment. I've said this repeatedly about how, you know, they were being building for 2025, and that they're not, quote, trying to win this year. And of course, there's a bunch of morons who think that means, like, that, who people, it's amazing to me, in 2024 people don't understand what you know, when we say a team is tanking or recalibrating or whatever, that it's not the players and the coaches. They're trying to do everything you can. It's about the organization building the roster, how they're valuing their future assets, et cetera. That's what it's about. Of course, the players are trying to win. And now that they're 3-1, right, it does now beg the question, what is Adam Peters going to do here? The trade deadline's about a month away. So it's conceivable that, if this keeps going, that they do look to make some kind of a move. But that said, I still have a hard time imagining he's going to trade away, you know, any kind of top draft picks for this kind of help. Now, I could see, you know, again, like I said, cornerback, you know, I've been saying for a while, there's still some guys out in the street, at least by name recognition, seem like viable options, but I don't get the sense that they have been looking into that market and spending the kind of money it would take to bring in a couple of or you know one or two of these guys that, well,
we got
that,
another
that are out there.
We got another month, and there are more games here. But here's what I think all of these guys, end up coming to the conclusion on. They understand how fickle and how fleeting these opportunities are. And it would be one thing if they were just, narrowly getting through these games, and there was nothing super impressive about the mark. But they may have an elite offense and an elite quarterback, and that changes the calculus on everything for this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I think everybody's been starting to eye that Ravens game in Week 6. The Browns, the next opponent. Been kind of a mess, but they still have, formidable defense. And so I think these next two games will probably give, it's more data regardless, but it'll give a better feel exactly where this offense is. And then I think at that point is when, you get past that Ravens game, and depending on how that goes, is where, again, the calculus maybe changes officially. I will just say that, while I don't think that Josh Harris has, he's not pushing Adam Peters to do X, Y, or Z, again, he is the guy that did the process with the Sixers or allowed that to occur. And of course, that team was miserable for several years. I'm not comparing it to here, but the point is he was willing to be patient in order to put this team in a better position long haul. He said very early on this year, it's not hard to get to 8-8. The hard part is building a contender. So that's why I'm saying, I don't know that you're going to want to do – that they're going to want to do too much when it comes to adding help. But, maybe there are ways to get a little bit more somewhere here or there going forward. But, again, if this, the next couple of weeks continue to look like what we've just been witnessing, it may be an all bets are off situation.
Did you have a favorite play from yesterday on offense?
Favorite play for,
there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, I don't know if it was my favorite, but to the point of this confidence and just how it is brimming everywhere. The fact that Jeremy McNichols, who I believe did not have a carry since 2021, had one career touchdown. He comes in to replace Austin Eckler, who's out with a concussion. That 27-yard run, it wasn't like he looked like a guy who you were expected to be part of a rotation or has been there, done that type running back, the way he was aggressive, evaded the tacklers. Not that that was the most dynamic of plays per se, but just the idea that anybody is seemingly coming in right now and getting this done. Zaccheaus only played 18 snaps yesterday and he led the team in yards, receiving yards. This is what is so interesting. And again, it's the sum of the parts is bigger than the whole deal right now. And, plays like that McNichols was making, Brian Robinson didn't play. He played the same amount of snaps percentage-wise relative to the two games where Eckler was in there the whole game. They didn't say, okay, Brian, now you go be the guy. No, they brought in these other guys. They also had Zaccheaus do some work in sort of that Eckler role. And I think that to me is, it's not a play, but just the idea that you can just, the system is getting in such a way that they can plug in kind of anybody right now and it's still going. I just find that incredibly fascinating.
Did they get out of the game healthy?
We'll find out more from Dan Quinn later. Nick Allegretti had an ankle issue right near the end of the game and they ruled him out, but at that point, the game was over. I was told, said afterwards that he was okay. So we'll take him at his word for now. Tyler Owens, one of their undrafted free agents, a special teams contributor, had a shoulder issue. So we haven't heard from him. But other than that, as far as I know, they seem to be okay. Knock on wood on that perspective.
What about Eckler for Sunday?
We'll ask Quinn today. That once he was ruled out earlier in the week, kind of moved off of that. So we'll have to see where they're at. Obviously, they get back in a normal schedule this week after being on the road for a bit. So we'll see how Eckler fits in to all that. One thing just to sort of add about this sort of conversation overall before we go, going back to the summer and everything, you know, there's this question of like, well, how much are they going to show, right? How much are they willing to talk about what's happening here? How much are they going to show in preseason? I know teams don't typically show much, but, you know, everything was new, rookie quarterback, maybe you let him play, and obviously they didn't do too much. But the one reason, the biggest reason why both of the coordinators said this is they've got the element of surprise on their side. The rest of the league does not quite know what is about to happen. Yeah, you can study Kingsbury's past tape and Joe Witt, and et cetera, but it's new personnel. It's taking advantage of what you have on this team and, you know, covering up what you don't. And Kingsbury, as we've seen, is, you know, he's expanded his bag of tricks. It's not completely the same deal that he had before. And all these defenses seem to be very flummoxed by what they're witnessing. The wonder is, how long does it take for teams to come up with the wrinkle that they see that could potentially slow this down a bit? I'm not saying that they will, but at four games, I don't think this has happened yet. But at some point here, these other teams are going to be like, all right, hold on a second. What's going on here? What do we have to do? What are we seeing? And I think at that point, you know, again, A, when does it happen? And then B, what's the adjustment to the adjustment? That I think is sort of maybe the next thing to watch here. Again, I don't know if it's going to be this week against the Browns or, you know, week 10 or maybe not till the offseason, but at some point there'll be an adjustment by the defense based on what they're doing that you know, they haven't had to worry about yet.
Oh, I'm interested to see what Jim Schwartz does, you know, this week with the talent and, you know, see if they're healthy and see what they do at quarterback, if it's going to be Jameis instead of Deshaun. But Jim Schwartz, as a defensive coordinator, has been known to really try to fool and confuse young quarterbacks, usually in an aggressive way, and he's got some defensive. So this will be the biggest test in terms of the defense they face and the coordinator they faced since the opener. The big difference is Cleveland struggles to score, you know, on offense. So and maybe you don't need as much, but I'm looking forward to Sunday. Great job. Welcome back. I'll talk to you. Thanks.
Yeah, man. See you.
Ben Standig, everybody. Yeah, the next 2 weeks, right? It's Jim Schwartz and it's, you know, Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith and Denzel Ward and, Grant Delpit, all of those dudes defensively and the way they can rush the passer. I don't even know what they did yesterday. They lost the game. They missed an extra point. Hopkins missed a key extra point in that game that would have made it 20-17 because they were knocking on the door at the end of the game with a chance to win it, but they had to go for the touchdown. So yesterday, the Raiders, at least right now I'm looking at it, Alexander Mattison, 60 yards on 5 carries. Zamir White, 17 for 50. That's pretty good. 22 for 110. The Zamir White, 17 for 50, not great. Mattison must have had one long run. He had a 24-yarder in there. Minshew sacked just twice, and both of the sacks were Myles Garrett. This is going to be an interesting one. Cleveland has really struggled to score, but defensively, always pretty good and always pretty well coached. All right, we'll go around the league. Crazy day, especially in that 1 o'clock window. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest plays and clutch moments.
Oh, look out! Touchdown! A miracle!
It's time to go around the NFL.
Throw it again. Over the middle, end zone, it is!
So the Eagles listened to their first three drives at Tampa yesterday on what apparently was a brutally, brutally hot and humid day. Three plays, 2 yards, 3 plays, 2 yards punt, 3 plays, -7 yards punt, 3 plays, 0 yards punt. Their first 9 plays went for -5 yards, and they were down 24-0. They fought back. They made it 24-14, but every time they got within some striking distance, Tampa responded offensively. 33-16, the final score. Baker Mayfield threw for 347. They rolled up against that Eagles defense who completely shut the Saints down. They rolled up 33 points, 445 yards in the game. Hurts struggled, especially early. And Philly falls to 2-2 on the season. I didn't like this game either way, Denton, but I thought it was going to be a highly competitive game. And it wasn't. And Tampa Bay bounces back off of getting absolutely beaten down at home by Denver to beat Philly 33-16. They actually have the Thursday night game this week. Huge game in the NFC South against Atlanta. I think the biggest issue with the Eagles right now, and I'm going to stick with this, I do think they're better than they were last year, but there's a lot of stuff going on that is behind the scenes, and it ain't pretty. And I don't know if they can get this done with Sirianni, the head coach. And so we'll see what happens. But they're just seemingly a little bit disconnected and a little bit, you know, on edge because of the pressure building on their head coach in particular. Let's go to Baltimore last night for the Derrick Henry Show.
Back. Here goes Henry up a big running game against Dallas. Derrick Henry on the run. Henry and Lewis chasing at the 40, at the 30. He will score!
First play from scrimmage for Baltimore, 87 yards. What's just so, honestly, like borderline intoxicating watching Derrick Henry is that somebody that big can run that fast. He's 255 pounds, people. And he outran everybody 87 yards for a touchdown. Derrick Henry has gone back-to-back games now. Last week against the Cowboys in a game they had to have 25 carries, 151 yards. And last night against Buffalo in a 35-10 win, 24 for 199. Remember back for the season opener at Arrowhead against the Chiefs, and it was like the Ravens you know, had to figure out what they were going to be. What they should be is they've got the best, or maybe, you know, tied for the best running quarterback in the NFL. Jaden Daniels is right there with Lamar Jackson. And they've got a running back who is a future Hall of Famer in the perfect scheme for that particular running back. And they've taken advantage of it because the last two games, this dude's averaging over 7 yards a carry and has 3 rushing touchdowns as they've gotten back to 2-2. And the other thing, last night, that defense really stepped up. It was really physical against Buffalo. They completely shut down the run. And there was that one moment, Denton, I don't know if you were watching it, but it was 21-10, and Buffalo had the ball back. And they tried this trick play involving Curtis Samuel and a pitch back, you know, that to Josh Allen, who was going to throw, and he did. And Kyle Van Noy literally blew it up, and Kyle Hamilton recovered it, and then the route was on. 35-10, Baltimore back to 500. They got a big game against Cincinnati, a division opponent, coming up this week. And then they face the Commanders, the Skins, Washington, at M&T Bank on October 13th. Let's go to SoFi for Kansas City and the Chargers.
Yards. This one is going deep for Worthy, and the rookie hauls it in. That's the longest touchdown pass for Mahomes in a long time.
Yeah, a 54-yarder on a play that happened with them trailing 10-7 from their own 46 late second quarter. They really needed that one. Butker missed a field goal, by the way, at the end of the half. They gave him a 65-yard try. The field goals in the NFL are insane. And then a big miss for the Chargers on their opening drive. We've seen actually a lot of missed field goals after it seemed like nobody could miss for the first 2 weeks. But it's like Kansas City, they just do what they need to do to win the game. There was nothing super impressive. The big news out of that game is Rashee Rice, and he could be lost to a torn ACL. That's what the fear is at this point. He suffered the knee injury in the game. Sorry, losing my voice a little bit. And that would be a devastating blow for them because he is their best receiver. Let's go to Lambeau for the undefeated Vikings and the Packers.
Darnold again with time. And to the end zone, caught, touchdown, Jordan Addison.
I mean, their defense is incredible. Their offense has so much talent. And Sam Darnold, again, 20 of 28, 275, three touchdowns. He got away with what should have been a pick six early in the game, but it doesn't matter. I mean, he's got Aaron Jones running well. He's got Jefferson, who was healthy, Jordan Addison. They don't even have TJ Hockenson in the lineup yet. It doesn't really seem to matter. The only thing that didn't happen is they didn't continue on their sack barrage. They only got to Jordan Love, who played the game one time. This was a strange game in that it was in the game, the score was 28-0 midway through the second quarter, and Green Bay did get it back to 28-22 with 10 minutes to go in the game. They had a legit shot had they been able to get off the field after the 28-22 touchdown, but Minnesota methodically down the field, never faced a third down, stayed aggressive, and they ended up getting a field goal to extend the lead to 9, and then that was pretty much it, 31-29. How about this? Minnesota and the Jets this coming weekend in London in our first early morning East Coast Sunday morning game. The Jets have some problems. Minnesota, man, is the surprise, I think, of the NFL. Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores, what a combination. And look, I'll say this, you know, with the money they decided not to pay Kirk, and they wanted Kirk back, but they wanted him back on a team-friendlier contract so that they could go out and get Van Ginkle, they could go out and get Greenard. They have really upgraded with some of the money they would have spent on him, and it is paying off big time on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think this is fake. They've got to win over the 49ers, they've got to win over the Texans, and now they've got to win over a Jordan Love quarterbacked Packers team at Lambeau that they were dominating. They are 4-0, and they play the Jets in London on Sunday. Let's go to Atlanta for a big NFC South showdown.
By one. Yubway Koo from 58. It is good.
They got a good kicker there in Koo, 58 yards. It was a big defensive pass interference penalty as Atlanta took over deep in their own territory. No timeouts, about a minute to go, needing a field goal. Another fourth quarter game-winning drive for Cousins. That one was a DPI. There was no controversy there. Interesting, because I watched some of this game. The Falcons, like what happened Sunday night in their loss to the Chiefs, really were on the wrong side of a couple of calls. They had a touchdown pass called back on an absolute phantom holding penalty that would have given them a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. But I just wanted to mention a couple of players in this game. Alvin Kamara really is special, and he's a big part of what the Saints are doing. Taysom Hill, they lost early, but he was a major factor early in the game, but it just seems like he can never stay healthy. And Chris Olave is an outstanding NFL wide receiver. Tyler Allgeier, going back to his BYU days, I always thought he could be a good running back. He is a very good back. These two teams, I think, are going to be there all year long, fighting it out for a playoff spot, potentially the NFC South title. Tampa's good as well. Good football game won by the Falcons, 26-24. Let's go to Indy for the Steelers and the Colts.
Play of the drive. Flacco, sideline, delivering to the end zone. He's got his man. It's Downs. Touchdown.
Yeah, I don't know what this situation with Anthony Richardson is. He got hurt. He's not been playing well. He actually got hurt, came back in. They ran him again, and then he got hurt even worse. Maybe you can update me on his injury status. But as much as I love this dude's physical abilities, and I think that there's a future for Anthony Richardson, he's so raw right now, and it's wasteful of a good roster. They've got a good roster. They've got an excellent offensive line. They've got Jonathan, or they got Pittman. They got Downs. They got Pierce. They've got good players on defense. Flacco came in 16 of 26 for a buck 68, two touchdowns, no picks in just a little more than a half. I think they'd be better off going with Flacco. Look what he did in Cleveland last year. The Colts can win that division. I know that Houston won. They barely won. But the Colts, I think, are just as good roster-wise, and they could be in that division hunt, but Richardson a little bit too raw. Let's go to L.A. Actually, not L.A. Let's go to Vegas, sorry, for the Raiders and Washington's next opponent, the Browns.
Up two times better than their average. Turner this time on the end around. Breaking a tackle inside the five. Plunges his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Raiders.
Yeah, DJ Turner, 18-yard run that gave them a 10-point lead after they trailed 10-0 early in the game. Deshaun Watson just kind of putzing around, to be honest with you. Had a pick in the game, had a fumble that he almost lost. They're not very good in the red zone, this team isn't, but they are good defensively. And they get after the quarterback. They gave up some rush yards yesterday because Madison had a couple of long ones. But Cleveland is that team that's kind of been the Steelers in recent years. Excellent defensively, can't score offensively. They lose 20-16. A big miss of an extra point by Dustin Hopkins hurt their chances because they were knocking on the door at the end of the game. They come to Washington this week. Washington, a 3.5-point favorite, depending on where you are looking. And then lastly, what do we have here next? We've got, where are we going next? We're going to the Meadowlands in the rain for Denver and the Jets.
Nix delivers, end zone! Cortland Sutton, touchdown!
I mean, seriously, Bo Nix, it's like, oh, it's terrible to watch it. The Broncos are terrible. But I'll tell you where they're not terrible. They're not terrible on defense because they slowed down Seattle. They shut down Pittsburgh. They completely shut down Tampa in their own park last week. And yesterday against Aaron Rodgers in the Jets were 4 of 17 on third down. 4 of 17. They managed just 248 yards, 3.5 yards per play. And what you didn't play there is they had a chance with a Zuerlein field goal at the end to win the game from 50 yards out, and he pushed it to the right, and the Jets fall in a loss to Denver as another massive favorite, an 8-point favorite that loses outright. They weren't the biggest favorite. San Francisco was, but the Jets now go to face Minnesota in London, and Denver, with a couple of division games coming up, it wasn't like, you know, a beauty offensively by Nix. He threw for 60 yards in the game. But Javonte Williams ran the ball well. Two good defensive teams, 10-9, the final score in that one. Let's just real quickly finish up with the Bears and Rams at Soldier Field.
Stretch for that football.
And now the tempo again as Swift gets. Chicago Bears touchdown.
Yeah, I was told by my son that there were a bunch of memes going around about DeAndre Swift last week. He basically had a big hole and he ran right up into one of his offensive linemen. I don't know. I've always felt like he was a decent back. This is a big win for Chicago and a tough loss for the Rams, who fall to 1-3 despite their win over the 49ers last week. Caleb Williams, 17 of 23, 157 yards. I watched some of this game, you know, flipping around, and he missed some receivers. Just a little bit too hot on some shots. DJ Moore looked very frustrated, but they got the win over the Raiders. Stafford threw a pick and lost a fumble in this game. And Montez Sweat was, you know, a big part of a lot of that stuff. Sackle, tackle for loss, force fumble. He's played exceptionally well. The NFC is shaping up to be, you know, a lot of teams right around 500 or just below 500 right now. There are going to be some opportunities for some of those wild card spots later in the season. All right, final thought on 42-14 when we come back. Remember last week I was citing the DVOA numbers, and Washington was still 26th in the league as a team. They're 16th after this week. And when it comes to offensive DVA in the league, Washington right now is the number two offense in the NFL behind Baltimore. There are other advanced numbers that would indicate they are the best offense in the NFL. That number would be the EPA, the expected points added per play. That would be rushing and passing combined. They are so far out as the number one offense in the league, it's not even worth talking about number two, Buffalo, because after last night, Buffalo's way back. You've got an elite offensive football team and an elite quarterback through the first 4 weeks of the season. That makes this team right now must watch. Next opportunity Sunday at FedEx Field against the Browns to get to 4-1. Fun days right now. Let's hope they continue. Chris Russell's up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.